realized the reality of who Jesus is. That they're still not recognizing him for all that he is. And here's one possible way we can experience this season. Man, Christmas, maybe like any other season, gets us looking at everything we do not have. Christmas can cause us jealousy and covetousness and discontentment like no other season, because we're surrounded in our culture by everything that says you need something more. And if we're not careful, and if we're not intentional, we can go through this Christmas season as if our faces were downcast. Oh man, my celebration is not what I want it to be. My state in life is not what I want it to be. My circumstances are not what I want them to be. And we can come to this season and we can celebrate this whole season as if our faces are downcast. One of them, named Clopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. Here's what they know about Jesus. Here's what they have come to understand about Jesus. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. Okay, that's pretty good, right? He was a prophet. He was powerful. Man, we saw him do some things. We heard him say some things that were amazing. And it was obvious that he had some connection to God. But we had hoped that he was the one that was going to redeem Israel. They have some understanding of Jesus. They have this outward understanding of Jesus. They've seen his words. They've heard his words. They've seen his deeds. Man, they're powerful. Like maybe they're thinking of the feeding of the 5,000. Wow, that was a great day. Can't believe that. Maybe they're thinking of the Sermon on the Mount. Wow, what a message. Man, that one has really stuck with us. Maybe they're thinking of things that Jesus even said. Man, I and the Father, we're one. I'm the resurrection and the life. Wow. But we had hoped he would be the one that would redeem Israel. We had hoped he would be the one that would change our circumstances. And here's a key difference between, I think, biblical hope and worldly hope. Because we can all have hope. I mean, that's a common phrase. But worldly hope focuses on our circumstances. Biblical hope always focuses on a person, the person of Jesus. And so in this first week of Advent, where traditionally we focus on that word hope, I want us to think about, okay, what are we hoping for? Like these followers of Jesus, they were just hoping their circumstances would be different. Oh, we thought Jesus would change our circumstances. We'd hoped that life would be better. We'd hoped that things would be different. And we can get caught up in that sense of hope, where we get focused on our circumstances and our hope becomes this empty thing that has no power in our lives. But when we can actually set our hope on the person of Jesus Christ, That's a sustaining hope. That's a powerful hope because we know that the story isn't over. We know what they don't realize yet. We believe what they don't believe yet. We believe that he came back to life and that he's making a difference in the world regardless of our circumstances. That he's making a difference in our lives regardless of our circumstances. But we can get caught up in this season to say, oh, man, I wish things were different. And instead of being filled with hope, our faces can be downcast. They had hoped he would be the one that would redeem Israel. And what is more, they said, it's the third day since this all took place. They were holding on to something. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who had said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was as the woman said. But they did not see Jesus. They don't have eyes to see Jesus yet. They haven't come to terms with who Jesus truly is. And this is an opportunity of Advent. To set aside some time, to slow down, to intentionally focus our hearts and minds on who is Jesus. Jesus responds, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning him." Here's what we're going to look at this Advent season. Now, I don't know exactly what scriptures Jesus went to. I don't know exactly how Jesus summed up all of scripture pointing to himself, the things that were said concerning him. My guess is he'll do it far better than I'll do it, but that's okay. We're going to dig into the law, those books of Moses. We're going to dig into the prophets, those great spokesmen of God. And we're going to dig into the Psalms because he comes back later in this chapter and says, it's Moses, it's the prophets, it's the Psalms. It would have been the worship material of Israel. It would have been the books most precious to them. And he goes, don't you see it? Don't you know it? Haven't you heard it? Can't you believe it? Can't you receive this truth about who I am? And so they're on this journey, and he begins with Moses and all the prophets and begins to explain all these things concerning himself. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. I just want to pause in this moment. And just think about this. This is Jesus engaging in communion. The last time he was with these disciples, the last time he was gathered with these followers, he broke bread and he gave it to them. And so it's no wonder that this act, as he's breaking that bread, as he's handing it out, that it would jog their memories, and that would be the moment that Jesus would allow their eyes to be opened. So this is my prayer every week when we come to communion, but especially these weeks of Advent. Man, my prayer is that our eyes would be open. And that we'd be able to shift our focus from the things of this world to Jesus. And that as we partake of these simple little elements, a little cracker, a little juice, that we recognize in them Jesus. And that our eyes are open. Let's pick up our story in Luke 24. Jesus disappears from their sight. And they turn to each other, and, you know, it would be an interesting occurrence, right? You're having dinner with this stranger you don't recognize who seems very unaware of what's going on, and then the stranger says, hey, let me unpack all of Scripture to you to point out why Jesus is the Messiah. And then they sit down for dinner and he breaks bread and their eyes are opened and then he's gone and they turn to each other. Whoa, what just happened? But here's their confession. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us? Here's the way that we see Jesus. If you want your vision to be filled with Jesus, if you want your heart to be filled with Jesus, if you want Jesus to overshadow everything else in your life, then the Scriptures have to come alive. And when they do, here's something that should happen in your heart. These two, they say, weren't our hearts burning as he opened the Scriptures to us? Here's my Advent prayer for us, that the Scriptures would be opened to us. So that when we look at the law, when we look at the prophets, when we look at the Psalms, there will be this awareness that isn't human, but spiritually given to us. That the Holy Spirit would cause our hearts to burn. Has your heart ever burned within you? It's a feeling of passion. Maybe when you first fell in love. Maybe when you really wanted to attain something. Maybe in the heat of a moment, you felt this burning desire in you, this passionate desire in you, welling up in you. It's a yearning. Oh, I can't get enough. These two people are sitting there at the table and they're like, I can't get enough of this. I wish he was still here. I wish the Scriptures were still being unpacked to us. I wish that we had even greater understanding. There's this yearning in our hearts when our hearts are burning. And then there's this anticipation. An anticipation of what is going to happen. But because what they were like is we thought, we hoped that he would be the one that would redeem Israel. And now their eyes have been opened. So now they're like, oh, wow, he is the one that redeems Israel. He's the one. Our hope is fixed on him. And here's my hope. Here's my desire for us at Advent. As the scriptures are opened to us by the Holy Spirit, that our hearts would be filled with hope. A passionate, yearning anticipation of what is God going to do. And maybe even more importantly, wow, look at who God is. That our hearts would be filled with that kind of hope. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke bread. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them. I want to pause right there. Man, these two have experienced Jesus through the scriptures. Like, they were like, wow, our hearts are burning. We got to get back to Jerusalem. And the rest of the disciples, they've already come to this place as well. He's appeared to Simon, and all of a sudden the stories are rippling through all of the followers of Jesus, and they're amazed because Jesus is alive. But here's what's truly amazing. It's not just in the scriptures. Jesus appears to them in person. Man, my desire for us this Advent is that we would experience Jesus in a personal way. Because I think it's only in that way that we truly experience the love that he has for us. That he meets us in the ways that we need him to. And he's faithful to do that. He's done that with his followers. And so here's my desire this Advent, that you would experience Jesus personally and feel his love for you. Man, that he would come to his followers in person, in the flesh, in their midst. Oh, the love that he had for them. And then he says these incredibly powerful words, "Peace be with you." That biblical word for peace, it's shalom. It's that this sense that everything is as it should be. So these two on the road, they knew that Jesus was powerful. They had heard his words. They had seen his deeds. They were like, he's a great prophet of God. But we had hoped that he was going to redeem all of Israel. And then their eyes are open and they're like, oh, wow, it's totally much bigger than we ever anticipated. And it's amazing. He is the one that we hoped for. And he loves us. And he's come to us. And he gives us this sense that everything is as it should be. And you go, wait a second. Man, our world does not seem like it should be. Are you focused on the circumstances or on the person? Because when we focus on Jesus Christ, when we allow Jesus Christ to fill us with hope and with love and with peace, we have this settled recognition that it's as it should be. Now, his story's not over. Like, he's still at work. He's bringing things to a consummation, which is this odd reality of Advent. In Advent, we're celebrating, yes, his first arrival as a baby in a manger. And we are anticipating his second arrival, the consummation of all things. But even in this present moment, we can have a sense that things are exactly as God desires them to be in this moment. That he's at work, and he's not done. He's bringing things to this consummation, this wonderful moment where peace will be realized in all things. But you can realize peace in this moment, knowing that Jesus is King and in control and sovereign. And so even when things feel out of control in this world, you can believe because your hope is in Jesus, because you know that he loves you, that things are as they ought to be. Now he's working. So those relationships that are strained, that you go, God, really, this is how you want them to be? In this moment, he has things where they are so that other things can be realized. In this moment, he has things as they are so that maybe another's eyes could be opened. In this moment, he has things as they are so that he can use you in the next moment. But in every moment, he has things exactly where he wants them. My prayer is that as we move through Advent, that reality of his peace, the peace that Jesus gives, would wash over us. That it would change how we pray. It would change how we see things. It would change how we see people. That we go, okay, God, you're sovereignly in control in this moment. What are you going to do? How are you still working? How are you still unfolding? But I don't have to be anxious. I don't have to be worried. I can have peace. Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And while they still did not believe because of joy and amazement, it is that joy and amazement that eventually gets them to belief. Like, Jesus is patient. They're overwhelmed in this moment. They're like, whoa. And he's like, hey, you know what? Let's just take this one step at a time. Do you have anything to eat? I've shown you my hands and my feet. Let me eat in front of you because that will settle you. To know that I'm still flesh and blood, to know that I'm in my glorified body, but I'm still going to sit and eat with you. Wow. But man, they're filled with joy and amazement. Friday, we went downtown to Chicago. We were in Illinois at Robbie and Annabelle's and celebrating Thanksgiving, and it was a wonderful time with our family. It was the first time in our married life that it had just been our family at Thanksgiving. We typically invite all kinds of people over for Thanksgiving. And just the circumstances, the way it ended up, it was just our family. And that was sweet. And we went downtown together and, you know, this Christmas tradition, you know, after Thanksgiving, we can begin celebrating Christmas a little bit. And then after Ace's birthday, we can really celebrate Christmas. But we went downtown and everything's lit up. And we went to the Macy's, used to be Marshall Field's. Marshall Field's used to do windows like nobody's business. Like, that was the thing. That was the tradition. You'd go down and you'd see the windows at Marshall Field's. And they had them all the way around the building. And then, you know, eventually they just did half the way around the building. And then Macy's bought them out. And last year the windows were kind of, this year they were like, And we looked at these windows and we're like, there is no joy and amazement. And like we can get tired of things, right? We can become accustomed to things. And we all have Christmas traditions and we're all going to do those things like they're going to unfold. But here's my prayer for us. That as we go through Advent, as we look to see Jesus in the law, the prophets, and the Psalms, that we'd actually be filled with joy. And it's so much different than looking at Christmas windows that are not filled with joy. And it's joy that puts these people, these men, these rough, rugged men who had followed Jesus, who had seen him do incredible things, that it puts them beside themselves. They're like, oh, I can't even handle this. When's the last time you experienced joy? Oh, may this season not just be a season where it plays out the way it does. It's not just a season where we're anticipating the getting and giving of gifts and we kind of walk through our holiday traditions and we see those people and we do this and we do that. But it's a season where we're filled with joy. After he eats, he says this again in verse 44. He said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms." And then verse 45 is what I'm hoping for this year. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. You want to make this season all that it can be. Here's your prayer. Here's my prayer. God, open our minds to the scriptures. As we spend time in your word, open our mind to the scriptures. Because it's in that moment, as our eyes, our spiritual eyes are opened, as our hearts begin to burn with understanding and recognition, that we can be filled with hope and love and peace and joy. And that's what Jesus does. He patiently and lovingly and supernaturally walks through the scriptures. And their minds are open. He told them, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Here's the beauty of Advent. Here's the goal of Advent, that this message, the message of the forgiveness of sins, would be preached to all nations. This holiday is being celebrated all around the world. So here's our challenge. First, that our minds would be open to the scriptures. We can prayerfully ask God to do that so that we can be filled with hope, so that we can be filled with love, so that we can be filled with joy, so that we can be filled with peace. And so that we would be ready for this season. You are my witnesses of these things. And I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. Stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. And then go. Go and be his witnesses. Here's what we believe to be true. That's happened. And so again, in Advent, we're looking back to his first arrival as a baby, and we celebrate that, and we'll sing about that, and we'll look at that. And we celebrate the advent of the Holy Spirit, who is given to us to open our minds to the Scriptures, that we would be filled with hope and love and peace and joy, and so that we would be readied to be his witness. We have an incredible opportunity. This season, to not just talk about Jesus in the manger, but to talk about Jesus, our Savior, who came and who is coming again. And that's my prayer for us this Advent. That as we look to see Jesus in the law and the prophets and the Psalms, that we would come to a new recognition of him. That we'd be filled with hope and love and peace and joy, and that we would be readied to be his witness, to be on mission for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time of year where we're intentional about thinking about these things. And Father, where tradition outweighs our intentionality, I pray that that would be reversed this year. I pray that by your Spirit, our hearts and minds would be opened to the Scriptures, that we would see Jesus. Father, we need your Spirit to do that for us. And so as we celebrate Advent here, I pray for that. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to the Scriptures. That you'd fill us with hope and love and peace and joy, that you'd ready us to be your witness. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen.